Mert filan. Actually, it's not the second brother. Bro was saying the second brother. Just a second to drop the noise levels. Yeah, what were you asking?
No, I'm asking, when the rabbi said that if we have an instrument in the wrong brother, I just don't clarify which brother we're talking
about. He was talking about
about
refuah. If you're gonna be davening for refuah in the second brother, reife choile. That's a bakasha for refuah. You're in the wrong place. Because that's not a bakasha for refuah. That's a shevach that Hashem is very faithful. You want to daven for refuah is in refainu. That's what you're davening. That's the bakasha. First you thank Hashem and you praise Hashem and then you ask your request. That's how tefillah set up. Clearer? Okay, good. Okay, we're still in that Dhamma here. We haven't really started doing anything, but the important principles here generally, so that's why I'm doing it. Also, it raises questions, which hopefully will lead us to gain more knowledge. On Daf Dalet, he's explaining why he felt the need to write this sefer. Vim b'chokhmas ha-Torah she'eino mishtaneh ne'emar she'mikol mokom l'kol dor. When we talk about Chokhmah Satayra, the principle is that things change. Our understanding changes, the Metzias changes, and therefore you need in every generation people that have the understanding of that generation to give over the Torah to Paskin the Lochas that are relevant then. As Kol Shekhen, the Tfilah Sheavoida Shebaleif, how much more so Tfilah Sheavoida Shebaleif? Avoida Shebaleif doesn't mean emotions, okay? But to drive that nonsense out of your head as quickly as you can. Chayvus halavavos doesn't mean the obligations of your heart. It means the obligations of the mind. There are times where lev relates to emotions, but lev means that part of your brain that connects to your emotions, but it's not the emotions itself. That meaning it's not an emotional aroused moment. It's a very clear, directed, aimed. It can lead to emotions, depending on the emotions you've chosen, you want to activate at that particular time. For sure, no one's saying that it's an emotionless event, but the avoider is avoider of the lave of the mind. Therefore, you need, since there's so many changes, you need someone in this generation, understands generation, to clarify these subjects for you. If you have someone in this generation who's closer generation, understands the pain of the generation, the struggles, the difficulties of the generation, easier for him to be able to give over and to clarify these subjects for somebody who is living with. So the same in Torah. We don't throw away everything that's come before. We just learn what's written today. You go back to the Yesodos. They the Amudei Torah. We're not trying to replace the Rambam yet. We're not trying to place Rabbeinu Yonah. We're just taking someone who's closer to the door who can clarify what the Kadmoinim were talking about in a way that's more relevant to the door. The works of the great pillars that came before, they're the foundation of our lives. Nothing's going to open up. Obviously, the main learning and thought a person needs to do is in the Kadmoinim, in the Sforim that came earlier, from the Goinim, from the Rishonim, from the earlier Achreinim, the great Bale Musa, for sure. He said that he wrote this sefer On the back of a Rover Shakodesh, the Behemaim Chaim. He's a prophet, he's for him here. The great Hasidish to Gedoilim. Don't know who he is. He wrote a sefer called Shara Tfila, written according to the Essel Lashonis of Tfila. Mizeh is Arati, the Relich Toim Bia Lashonis of Tfila. From there, I was aroused to write a sefer on the different Lashonis of Tfila. Shuhu. There he writes unbelievable pshatim, lengthy discourses. And he left over place for people to come and give simple pshat, what he calls simple pshat. These 10 different levels of tefillah, types of tefillah, not levels, are brought down in midrashim in different forms, in different yuschois. The gamba zeh the chaptamachti al yisoida sefer shara tfila, kasafti seida l'shoinus atfila betchila, kafi agirza bedvarim rabba. Most of it is based on the midrashim in midrash rabba on dvarim. Shalpim roya goin hakodesh baal shara tfila l'seida sifra kodesh. Vayim shoa the 10 l'shoinus we're going to use because there's different versions. We're going to go through the following set. We're going to go through Shoah, Tzaka, Naka, Rina, Pagia, Bitsu, Kriya, Nipul, Pilu, Betachanunim. Baruch Hashem, on the Friday morning show, we just started Nipul. We've covered a lot of ground. The Shoah, Tzaka, Naka, Rina, Pagia, Bitsu, Kriya, Nipul, Pilul v'tachanunim. Those are the 10 Lashonis of Tefillah. As we go through, I don't want to translate them, no. Because they're not going to be any helpful, and that's why I chose Dabka not to. We know, you're asking a good question. They need to be understood. An English translation is useless. I'll translate all of them as Tefillah. Don't worry about it. No, I'm saying that we'll see the nuances and the subtleties and the differences are very, very not supported. I'm going to leave them untranslated for now because you can't translate them. You need to understand what each one means. They are translated in the English version because when you're translating something to English, you have to give English words. About Adif for now not to translate them. Vasiti shino echa de tzore chavonis kuntrazu shekadamti pitzur lifnei shoah. For clarification purposes, he put Bitsu before Shah, even though that's not the way it's brought down in the Midrash. But he decided to do that. In the Yalkut, you'll see there's 13 Lashonis of Tefillah. Rashi brings the Midrash that brings down 10. The Yalkut brings down 13, and he does at the end, he brings down the last three from the Yalkut. Okay. Not very exciting news. You're doing that Dhamma, you have to do that Dhamma. He bothered to write it down, so I feel I owe it to him to at least go over it. We'll get into the meat soon. Shema Kuntras Batati. Shem Daimel Sefer Shara Tfila. I called the Sharim Batila, first of all, because it's similar to the Sefer that it's basist on. From the Be'er Ma'achamayim Chaim Shara Tefillah, or Isaac B'Lashonis HaTefillah. Who are then Sharim B'Tefillah? That was the reason I called it Sharim B'Tefillah, because it's going back to Shara Tefillah. The Gam Shem Arumas B'Gematria, Sharim B'Tefillah, Im Shtei HaTevois, Shmi, V'Shem HaZayri G'dayla Toyri V'Yira Shlita. Shimshon David Ben Chaim Avram V'Chavalei. It's his name and his wife's, and his name and his father and his mother's name. Shekola sheli hu shelehem umahem, because everything I have is from them. It's theirs and from them. Yarech Hashem es yamein, b'nihim v'toich nachas v'simcha, they will lift her. V'irim rev nachas mitzayitzei v'tzayitzei tzayisem, k'mo kain aski v'akoros toiva, v'bergas oishe v'nachas, es moiri chami ha-goyim, ha-godol, remot chaleib man, okay, this is all irrelevant today because there's no Ben Chaim L'Chaim. His wife, Miriam, sorry, his mother-in-law Miriam, his daughter Miriam was killed with him in the car crash, named after his late mother-in-law. And she said, Yechida b'mina ba'av ha-satoy rev Yerushamayim v'rak b'glola megat yad aloiv. Oid ha-skir l'toy ves yidid yavrech yachor, achor shuv rev, goyrem b'yav, shvita, et cetera, et cetera, okay, b'seda. He brings in other people and he says, thank you, you can look at them yourself. Cool. Inay avati bekudjus ksat yosaidus v'chidushim shelo ketafti lehem b'koyres v'lo is shame oimram. It's very important what he's saying here. I brought down chidushim in this kuntras, and I didn't write down the sources. Who said that? That's not good. That's naughty. V'ada shayla koyre. Ibetem mi yotzu advorim. Where did these things come from? Where did they come from? If they come from Gedol Yisrael, I have to accept them. But if they come from you, the Mechaber, then we can discuss them and we can argue. I wasn't able to write down the sources. For some reason, many reasons. Sometimes the Torah becomes so much part of you that you can't actually remember where you got it, who you heard it from, but it's a part of you. Ramot Chamila, Talmid Muvaka Rav Dessler, very often said, I don't know if this is mine or Rav Dessler, because I can't tell the difference anymore. I absorbed Rav Dessler so much that I'm not sure if this is Rav Dessler or me, but it's Rav Dessler, because if I'm saying it, it's source in Rav Dessler. The same idea. There are many things you heard, you saw. You remember a couple of them because they were embers. And you don't remember exactly where or who you heard it from. But Dvarim ufuzorim umelukotim v'eini yodei mikoyrim. They're all over and I don't know what the source is. Gam yeh shamati dvarim katsorim v'arachti levarim. Sometimes you hear a quick thing and you expand on it. V'echech tov shem oimrim im shanites advarim kufi avanti. How can I write down that I heard it from this person when I changed what he said? The Chasam Sofer said to his Talmidim, I allow you to say my chidushim. You can say over my chidushim in your name. Like al tomre is chidushim is chidushchem b'shmi. Don't say your chidushim in my name. You know, you want to machadish things great. You want to say my chidushim, you can tell them that it's your chidushim, but not mine. But don't make, you know. Amnam yoda karishesh ha'vedvarim shem chidushim sheli. There are many things over that also my chidushim. Shelo shamatim or ra'itim lehedya. And I never saw them, I heard them explicitly. V'gam shamati. Aval kasafti es oifan avanti. I wrote them the way I understood them. If they have to be checked, what the Mesidah Shurim writes, you can sign on that. That's 100%. Nothing to talk about. No, he's saying that's not like that. You want to stand on what I'm saying? You better check out and make sure it's true. All I'm coming to do, yeah, we'll see he does much more than that, but in his anova, all he's coming to do is just to raise our curiosity and raise the subject, so hopefully we'll do further study here. I'm not coming here to take credit for anything that I say that's correct or good or beautiful, because if it's there, then it's something that I heard before. If there's mistakes, they're the changes and additions I made. But So then he quotes the Yalkut here, and we're going to start now the introduction. The introduction. And now we're going to do the introduction. I want to deal with something else before we do that. But something else that's relevant to this. But there was a question raised here the other day that got me thinking. And b'schut the question, b'schut the toilam, I was able, together based on a series of shiurim that I heard, we'll see, we'll talk about it now, to get a very interesting pshat on a question that's been bothering us for a long time. And I want to share it with you and hear what you think. What I'm saying now, based on a series of vadim that Refaim Becker gave you, Tafshin Ayin Hay, 9 years ago, series of 8 or 9 vadim that he gave on the subject of maturity. Maturity, going from being a child to an adult, in the Loshon of the Mishnah, going from being a golem to a chochem, in the Kli Yoker we saw the other day, going from being a Esav to a Yaakov, whatever the process of being a baby to as we grow and proceed and develop, there's five categories in the process of maturation. One of them is requests. When you're dealing with tefillah and understanding where it fits in, so we're dealing with requests. You might have noticed that we all have needs. Anybody not have needs here? Anybody here can tell me I have no needs whatsoever? We have needs, lots of them, lots of them. So needs lead to a thing called requests. I want to try and understand the progression of what that looks like, because it's very relevant to the subject of Sharim Betvila, because that's our request of Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it also applies by Nolam, the Odom. So if you think about it, I'm not going to do justice to the subject. Somebody wants to do justice to the subject, ask me. We have to find a way how we get these Vadim. What I used to do is I used to give you a disc. And in the old days, they used to have discs. Before that, there were tapes. It was much easier. I had a machine. I just copied a tape and I gave you the tape. After that, it got a bit more complicated. I just copied a disc and I gave you. I burnt a disc. You burn it. You burnt a tape. It didn't work afterwards. So you burn a disc. Today, it's not so simple. I have to take it off my Gumi G, my MP3, and then put it on the computer, and then put it on your hard drive or your disk in whatever key or whatever. There's a mod masubach. I don't know how to get people to share him. Anyway, we're working on it. But in the meantime, I speak to you. I just spoke to you. So it's taken care of. I just threw my problem on you. That's what I want to talk about now. Okay. We'll see there's something very profound. Yeah, I hope we'll have enough time to just at least get to the end of where I want to get to.
We recorded this.
It's being recorded. It's always recorded. Maybe I should switch off the recording. Okay, I'll see whether the recording's going out or not. No, you can't record it. No. No one can record anything in this year. Ever. I know when to switch it off. When I don't know that people are recording, and I say things that can't be recorded, then I'll switch it off here. No recording. If you want the recording's available straight after the shiur. But I take responsibility for what gets recorded or not. No, it gets uploaded to the website. Or I can WhatsApp it to you, email it to you, carry a pigeon it to you, whatever you want. Okay. No, I'll just send it from mine. Anyway, let's cup around here. A child, a baby, how does a baby let us know what he needs?
Cries.
He cries, screams. He takes no responsibility for his need whatsoever. That's all fair. He takes no responsibility, otherwise never forgive.
No, it's all.
Okay, I'm just saying. No, I know he didn't know. That's why I'm just telling you. Now that he does know, if anyone who caught you should have my permission, he has no mechila ever. I got into trouble once because of that, so that's why I'm a bit much better. Eli used to sit here with his MP3. He used to know when to switch it off and switch it on. No, I'm not saying anything controversial. It's just I'm not going to get this right. So I'd rather you listen to it in the original. But it's relevant to the question that you guys asked the other day. And it led me to an unbelievable insight I want to share with you. But it's based on what Rebecca said. So a child takes no responsibility for his need. Nothing whatsoever. He just screams. And the adult is supposed to respond in the correct way. How the adult knows what the child needs, that's another discussion. Women usually get it right. They have it wired into their system. They can tell the difference between a scream that's hungry or a diaper or they want to play or they, whatever. Women know how to get that right. We have no idea. We find ourselves changing a clean diaper with a baby who wanted to feed. You know, I'm sorry. I haven't got a clue what's going on. But that's basically what a baby looks like. There's some 50-year-olds that look like that as well today. You get them, they just quetch. They never ask a question. They never ask a request. They just quetch. You get people like that. The process of going from demanding that your needs be fulfilled as a baby to becoming more and more mature requires a couple of things to happen. The first one, well, let's just get the words clear here. In the Gemara, in the Lashon of Aramaic, what is a boy? A boy, boy, minay mi Rav Nachman.
Ask of him.
It's a question. He's asking a question. Boy, minay mi Rav Nachman. They asked Rav Nachman a question. Ask him a question. In Kaddish, we say, tiskabel, tiskabel, tzloysen uvroysot. What does it mean there? Requests. A request. See that a question and a request, the words go together, but boy also means a need. Why do I have a request? Because I have a need. I have a question, means I don't know the answer. By the way, if you have an answer, you don't have a question. That's not a question. The minimum definition of a question is, you've all heard this from me before, you should know it by now. I don't know the answer and I want to know the answer. If you know the answer, you don't have a question. And if you don't want to know the answer, that's also not a question. Many people ask questions, but it's not a question, it's a statement. Why do you have to keep leaving your bicycle? That's a question? That doesn't sound like a question. It's unfortunate it was phrased as a question. Why do you have to? But it's not a question. If you'd answer that question, I wouldn't know what you want from them. You know, like, how many times have I told you? You know, you've ever heard that one? If you'd answer that question, you'd get belted, you know? They're not asking a question. They're wanting you that you can't go out until you clean your room, whatever it is that they want from you. But a boy is a need that gives rise to a request or a question. Correct? A couple of things that have to happen before that question is a real question. First of all, you have to be curious. If you're not curious, why are you asking the question? Get that? Curiosity is what leads to a question. If you just want to have your voice heard in the shiur, then announce. I don't really have a question. I just want to hear my voice heard. So I don't understand why Rashi says that. What's it got to do with me? That's not aimed at me. That question wasn't directed at the Magid Shir. You just don't understand why Rashi said that. Okay, so don't understand what Rashi said. If you're really interested in knowing why Rashi said what he said, you'll go and explore it further. You'll, because you're curious, will do what? You'll take responsibility for the question. You just threw your question at me and I'm supposed to catch that? Where was God in the Holocaust? How do you respond to that question? Well, you have to test what the person who's answering that question's intentions are. He's really asking a question. He's really serious and he's exploring it. He's read some books about it and he has gone to some shirim about it. And he would be very grateful if you would add to his knowledge. You have to test for that. Otherwise, it's a, if you can't tell me God was in the Holocaust, I don't have to keep Shabbos anymore. Yeah, that's a question. That's a demand. What is that? You have to test for that. So you would tell the person, that's an excellent question. Well, I'd really like to discuss that. Give me a call and we'll get together sometime. You can't do that. I'll ask you a question. You better answer it. Honey, that's where you're coming from. I can't answer your question. I wouldn't deal with that person. Send them on their way. Because they're not asking a question. Nothing you say is going to add to their knowledge base whatsoever because there's no question. There's no question. I can't answer a demand. I can't answer a statement. So as a person matures and grows, he starts becoming more curious and he starts taking more responsibility for his questions. Okay? That's poshut. Okay. Here comes the two interesting things. When a person has a question, genuine question, and he's looking for answers, he would be enormously grateful to anybody that would provide him with an answer or more of an answer that would lead to his understanding of the subject better. It could even be, again, it could even be more simple. Let's just make it very simple. You need a tissue, and the tissues are there, and you would ask Danny, I'd really appreciate it if you pass me a tissue. He has a knee. He's asking somebody to, he could get up and get it himself. Somebody once asked Rav Dimula, how should you ask your wife to pass you the salt. I don't know what he was dealing with. He's like, what do you mean? Get up and get it yourself, you bum. So what do you mean? How do you ask your wife to pass you the salt? You don't. You get up and get it yourself. But your wife would probably want you to ask her to pass you the salt if you would be grateful that you would pass you the salt. And I'll tell you why. Because when I have a need and I request from you to fulfill that need and you fulfill that need, that leads to what? Gratitude, appreciation, a chorus of toif. Now my need and my request starts becoming a catalyst for a relationship. And that's the basis of all intimacy. I'm doing this very briefly and very quickly. There's a lot of stuff around this, but I want to get to where we were holding here yesterday, a few days ago. That means I have a need. I own that need. I make no demand on you whatsoever. If you can't answer my question, that's fine. Because it's not your question. It's not your problem. If you can't pass me the salt, that's fine. You know, you lose nothing in this interaction. If you pass me the salt, you get a lot of gratitude. If you don't, I don't start fetching and moaning and groaning because I'm not a child. I ask you to pass me the salt, and if you can, that's great. But if you're busy, you know, your three hands are tied up doing something else, and you can't, that's fine as well because you don't owe me anything. That means when I make a request from somebody, it's my need that I'm asking you to please help me with. And if you can, you can. And if you can't, you can't. That's fine. So there's no danger to the relationship. But if you do, that kicks off what's called a chorus of toiv. And that a chorus of toiv is aimed at someone specifically. It's not just flung out there. Whoever can help, please help. It was aimed at a specific person. And the performance of that request, or an attempt to fulfill that request, will lead to a chorus of toiv. And that's the beginning and end of intimacy. That's where relationships develop and build. Okay? If that's clear, so let's plug that into what we're dealing with. Kodesh Baruch Hu. The question asked was, well, the statement made was, is that you could be using the wrong tool to request what you need, and therefore you may not get answered. And the outrage that came from that was, what do you mean? We're talking about Hashem loves us, He cares for us, He wants what's best for us, and if you ask, He'll give it to you no matter how you ask. That was the question, yeah? And that was based on a pre-existing understanding of how the system works, correct? Avram,
the most important,
yeah. Yeah, more or less. I'm enormously grateful for the question because it led to a couple of very interesting insights I want to share with you. So, number one, I have a pre-existing hypothesis, idea, understanding, and then I open up a legitimate Torah sefer, and I start seeing that it doesn't really agree with my pre-existing reason as a scholar. So I see that there's something in this piece of Torah that doesn't agree with what I've always thought. There's a Rashi that doesn't stem with me. So what do? I become curious. No, chas v'chalila. I become curious. I want to see where the disconnect between me and Rashi is, with the assumption that Rashi probably knows what he's talking about more than I do. If at the end of the day you find that you don't stem with Rashi and the Rashbo agrees with you and argues with Rashi, that's gewaldig. You can go explore that. When it's a late Achron, you can choose at the end of the day to disagree as well. But that's number one. There's always more Torah to learn than you know. If you knew all there was to know in the Torah, you'd be God and we could dive into you. And then you could set up the rules and systems of how we get to you. That's poshut, yeah? If you know everything was to know in Torah, you'd be God. Because everything there is to know in Torah is Hashem's mind. So we know that we understand very little. And when we learn new things, that's exciting. That's number one. Number two is there's 10 Lashonis of Tefillah, and I started getting a sense after the question was asked, and I'm working these Vardim from Rebecca again, is you'll see there's a progression in maturity from the first one down to the end one. I haven't threshed it out properly yet because I'm hoping to be able to do that as we go through the Sefer now. I'm able to track and hopefully find. I don't want to set up a goal and then you're like the scientist. You know, you have a goal and then you set up your experiments to achieve your goal. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, but I'm getting a feeling that there's a progression in maturity of these different types of tefillah. That's number one. And number two is, and this is what I really want to tell you, is we know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't give us anything if we don't ask. It was we learned from Adam Rishon and understood that already. Adam Rishon davened for rain. And if he didn't daven for rain, there would never have been rain. never ever would have been rain. That's right in the beginning of Chumash. Yeah. Rashi tells you, you know why Adam rushed for rain? Because everything was waiting to grow, but there was no rain. So Adam davened for rain, it rained. And he not davened for rain, it wouldn't have rained. And from there, Chazal learned out, if you don't ask for something, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get anything if you don't ask for it. There's kashas on that as well. You know, no one asks for the ahs, and yet you've got ahs, whatever. But if you want something, you have to ask for it. Why? Hashem knows what we need. This is a big kasha that everybody asks on tefillah. Hashem knows what you need. And if it's good for you, he'll give it to you. And you can ask as much as you want. If it's not good for you, he's not going to give it to you. Which parent gives his child poison just because the kid's begging? He's lying on the floor, kicking and having a tantrum, and he wants poison. You're going to give it to him? You're going to give him a loaded gun? No, because you know it's not good for him. And if he needs it, the kid's sick and he needs medication, well, you didn't ask, so you don't get the antibiotics. I'm sorry. Suffering. Yeah, which parent does that? The kid needs antibiotics. Give him antibiotics. He don't ask for it. You give it to him. So why do I have to ask Hashem? So you're right. As a child, I don't think you need to ask Hashem. Hashem will give you what you need because you need it. Because you don't ask a child to beg for antibiotics. If he needs them, you give it to him. But Hashem wants us to grow up and he wants us to be adults. And therefore, he sets up this system where we have to reach out to him with our needs. And those requests become a catalyst for intimacy with Hashem. Because when you daven for something and you get it, first of all, you know where it came from. Came from Hashem. That leads to Koras HaToiv. The whole Chivas HaLevavos is based on this Yesod. I never saw it before. That leads to Koras HaToiv and that Meshabets you. There's now a relationship that's developed. There now can be an intimacy with the Kodesh Baruch Hu because you had a need. You took full responsibility for the need. I would really appreciate it if you could help me, but if you can't, the gum tov. And you got your need fulfilled. Well, that kicks off a Koras HaToiv. There's now a relationship developing. And that's what Hashem wants ultimately from us. He doesn't need you to ask him for what he needs in order to give it to you. He doesn't need anything. He needs you to be able to develop that ability to develop and build those muscles of a Koras HaToiv. And therefore, it comes through this process of requests, the same way as it does in our personal relationships. And if he set up a system that you can get more and more and become more and more through the different tools and abilities and avenues he gave us in order to relate to him, well, then so be it. But you're right, because this process of maturation is a never-ending story. Where you are in relation to the next level looks childish. Where you are in relation to the level you just came from looks like an adult. And therefore, there's an ongoing, like in everything in Ruchnius, you're climbing a ladder. So Hashem's going to relate to you based on where you're holding. If all you can do is kvetch, if that's all you can do is 8-week-old baby needs something, screams, and the mother responds, if that's where you're holding, Hashem may or may not respond to that. I don't know. But that's not what he wants from us. He wants us to grow up. And he gave us the tools in order to do that. But he wants us to ask him because when you have a need and you don't ask, nothing develops, nothing happens. Nothing happens. Having a need and having somebody fulfill that need for you has to lead to a Koras HaToiv. Has to lead to a Koras HaToiv. Otherwise, you're just the biggest taker in the world. And we know what the Torah says about taking. When you take, and that leads to development of the relationship, you now become a giver. You're giving the person something back. When someone makes you a cup of coffee, you give them that empty cup back, filled with what? With pleasure, with appreciation, with a Koras HaToiv. With a new dimension to a relationship. That sort of thing's going on here. At Khan for now. That came from your question, which really bothered me because I had the question as well. When I started thinking about it and thought, yeah, that's not fair. Tim loves me, knows what's good for me. I asked, I begged, I cried, he'll give it to me. It's not so simple. Hashem wants to help us to crawl out of diapers. And he gave us a way to do that. And whoever gives you the tools to do that, you have to be enormously grateful to them as well. You may, when you finish learning the sefer, want to go to the kever and say thank you. Or not. That's your own personal decision-making process. That's what's going on here. Okay, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll start dealing with tefillah directly.